love to hear what arises for you in asking what has been a genuine challenge for you, returning to the present moment or connecting, untangling from Western colonial culture. Has there been a potent point of challenge or something you really had to overcome in that untangling, in the returning, in the clearing out? What's been blocking that connection for you?
Honestly, it's what comes really strong when you ask that is the labeling things as challenges.
Ooh.
What's behind that question when it's asked is the sense that there are things that are less ideal than other things.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are difficult, right? The greatest challenge was overcoming the labeling things as challenging. The greatest difficulty was overcoming the idea that things are difficult. That gives way to just presence with whatever is. You know, going back to the example that I gave in our chat about the backstory of Native to Life, I used an example of the pine tree that grows up, and when its roots hit rock, the trunk of the tree kind of bends and loses some steam for a period as it's pushing through the rocks. The difficulties that we label as difficult are the moments that our roots are pushing through the rocks. The tree is not labeling that as being difficult. It's just working with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or playing with it.
Mm.
The labeling something difficult, you can watch this happen when people are learning to play an instrument or learning to sing or some sort of skill. The second that somebody has the idea that they are having a hard time or that it's difficult, they manifest their inability to do it.
Ooh.
Because what they're actually doing, and I've seen this a lot within myself, as soon as I start thinking about singing, I'm no longer singing. I'm thinking. To be surrendered to whatever's happening is to give full aliveness to that which is happening, the present moment. That makes me remember a banner that was hung in our middle school cafeteria, which at first I was really frustrated by, but I think maybe years later I came to recognize the potency of it. The banner said, "If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't."
Yep.
It's like, what? That's horribly uninspiring, because I don't think I can at all. Right?
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, what do you mean I can't? You're supposed to tell me I can.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, man, you got to choose that for yourself.
Choice.
Mm-hmm. And so the second that I label something as being difficult, I literally make it difficult. You hear that? Like, the deeper connotation to those words, as soon as I label something difficult, I make it difficult.
We decide it to be difficult. And so it is.
Right. And what actually is difficult? If you go into that and you ask yourself, okay, what is difficulty? What does all this mean? It starts to slip right through your fingers if you go into that, really. It's just baloney in your mind. Just these nonsensical ideas about something when meanwhile there's that thing in front of you and you can just go ahead and approach it with all of your aliveness. You know, is learning an instrument difficult? If you say so, but if you just go ahead and do it, it defies the idea of it being difficult, because there you are just playing an instrument to whatever degree you're playing it.
Mm. It's for the person who says, I have a hard time finding presence or finding stillness or sitting still. I have a hard time quieting my mind. I find that difficult.
Well, yeah, because they're thinking about it. And so just be there thinking about it if you have to. Mm. If that's what's happening, be there as it's happening. And that transmutes it. As soon as one is looking at the fact that they're thinking about looking at presence, they're present.
Mm-hmm.
In order to look at it, you're present. To simply observe whatever it is that's happening, something shifts in that moment. If somebody sits down to meditate, they're like, okay, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to be in a state of blissful serenity. I'm going to give up all thinking and I'm just going to exist in the oneness of existence. That's the worst way to do that. Because you've created this super heady idea about what you're about to do.
Mm.
Whereas what one could call meditation, because we have a sense of what that means, you know, culturally, actual meditation tends to not happen in those moments.
Mm.
Do you hear that bird? That is non-thinking, clear, present awareness. Listen to that bird. That's meditation, straight up.
Mm.
So simple, you know? But as soon as one thinks about doing something rather than it just being done, so to speak, it's lost.
Mm.
As soon as somebody says, yes, I am a fill in the blank, you're no longer that thing.
Mm.
Because in the actual present moment of defining something, you're just a definer in that moment. You know, you're just a definition maker. If somebody calls themselves a musician, you could say they're a musician while they're playing. But the second they set that down and step away, fundamentally in the present moment, they're not a musician. They're a walker or a dinner eater or, you know, whatever silly label you want to put on stuff. And the more that you just one acknowledges that,
yes,
the labels just become bizarre and silly.
Seen for what they are.
Yeah. I look at that and I look at the scene behind us here as we sit and one calls it a mountain. What the hell does that even mean?
Uh-huh.
Right? If one just sticks to the labels, everything is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Effectively.
Mm-hmm. Mm, the labels themselves really diminish the actuality of what things are.
They don't even diminish it because they don't even come close to what it actually is. They never go to the entire essence of that thing in order to diminish it.
Mm.
And those things are not diminished as a result of the definition. It's simply one is not present to it.
Yeah.
Nothing's diminished.
Yeah,
and I hear what you're saying in that. You know, I'm not trying to be dense, but just recognizing the immensity of what's occurring without labeling it, you know? you could say, yeah, the label can, so to speak, diminish one's experience of that thing.
How we relate to it, how we experience or don't experience it at all.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if one's difficulty is having all of these labels and associations and ideas about stuff, just observe that. Look at that.
Check it out.
Yeah. Watch yourself walk through the forest and try to name everything and look out for things that are maybe dangerous and all of this kind of stuff. Just look at all of that. Just watch the whole thing. Just be present to it. And in the presence is a transmutation, where when one is really, and it doesn't take much, when one is really present, and this is an experience that only a person can have for themselves. Yeah, I can say this, it doesn't mean anything until somebody actually has this experience. It's like when one is walking through the forest and observing themselves having this whole idea about things being dangerous, if one is present and observing themselves label and look out for everything that's dangerous, it can be a very quick recognition of, that's so pointless. I don't need to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you were saying earlier. Here I am spending all this precious moment calling things dangerous, and there's not even danger here. And perhaps the thing that is harming me the most, since I seem to be afraid of being harmed, is all of this polluted nonsense in my mind.
Mm.
And so when you ask what's the greatest challenge, one could say that paradoxically has been the challenge,
mm-hmm.
is to not label things as a challenge,
mm-hmm.
which isn't challenging at all. It's just presence, you know?
It's so relieving.
Oh, yeah.
And freeing.
Yeah. 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 One is able to participate in the freedom that one already exists in.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, sort of denies oneself access to that,
mm-hmm.
by piling a bunch of stuff on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're already free. You're already alive. You're already present. You're already in connection with all of existence. And there's just a bunch of stuff sitting on top of that. You know? And simply being here, it's all right there.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is the quiet beneath everything.
Mm.
Ever present. Never not there. It's just underneath all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge, so to speak, is just letting go of all the extra nonsense, just getting clear, literally clear as in transparent.
Mm.
I love what the Tao says of, can you let the, it paints the picture of a glass of water that has a bunch of mud in it. And this phrase is a Stephen Mitchell translation, but I probably won't say it verbatim. Can you let the mud settle until you see nothing but the light?
Mm.
And it's speaking of like allowing yourself to become still enough, allowing the mind to become still enough that the mud settles and the water becomes clear.
Mm.
There can be mud in the glass, and if the glass is held still, the water is perfectly clear on top of the mud. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about getting rid of mud.
Ooh.
In that metaphor. It's about letting the water be clear, because it already is. You're already present. You're already intimately engaged with life. Every breath, every heartbeat, every cell dividing in your body is the intrinsic aliveness of existence unfolding in your body. It's just allowing that to be, which is symbolized as allowing the mud to settle, which is like the mind and all of its nonsense. Mm-hmm. Right? Just letting that settle long enough to be able to see clearly what's already here. The water's already clear. It's just clouded with mud. So let the mud settle. And then the clear water is clear. What do you know? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's synonymous with not labeling challenges as challenging, but just being there for whatever it is prior to and beyond any label that you can give it.
Yes.
Just be present to it. Mm-hmm. You can work with that, you know, you can handle that, you can play with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're really intended to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
Using words here, but that's what the mind is intimately attuned to, actually, is the present moment. As soon as we cloud the present moment with all the extra nonsense, the mind becomes a burden. But in the actual present moment, all people experience this in moments of intensity or moments of like direct, say, physical trauma or like a car accident or these kinds of things. I think everyone's experienced the immediacy of the mind when there's like some dire situation or an emergency. The mind becomes very clear.
Yeah.
When it really has to, boom, it's here. It's here for whatever is immediately present.
Yeah.
And when one can just do that intentionally without having to have some extreme dire circumstance force one into it, when one can just be here with that level of alert clarity and awareness, the mind is no longer a burden. It is an immensely capable instrument of presence. Instrument like the instrument that a musician plays.
Mm-hmm.
The mind becomes the instrument played by life. Here in the present, rather than that drum set just like banging on itself constantly, blah, 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 all this crazy noise in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than that, it's letting life play. That's when the mind is extraordinary. And that's all it's really like. I say this and it's not this, but we're just using words. That's all the mind is, quote unquote, intended to do, to be here. That's what the mind is attuned to, is the present moment.
Uh-huh.
We use it to evade the present moment, to think about the past and the future and all that stuff. And it's capable of that. And letting all of that go and just being here, the mind becomes a fucking superpower.
It's not to be denied or thrown away.
No, 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 no. Why would we have it?
Mm-hmm.
Why would we have this tremendously capable mind?
Mm. The mind itself is not the antagonist.
No, it's just how we use it.
It's how we use it.
And the reason we use it for all, or a reason that it's used for all sorts of fuckery, is simply because it's been trained that way.
Mm-hmm. It's been running that way. It's been wired that way.
Yeah, it's been conditioned that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typically culturally or societally. And I think the misconception often happens where you're supposed to like manually rewire that and pick out all of the excess wiring and do this whole big, you know, mental surgery on oneself. And really that's secondary. That'll happen as a natural reaction to just being present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rather than going through that deep dive, which will take you probably lifetimes if you wanted to like go through and rewire yourself. Really, what rewires a person is just being present.
Because
if you're present with your wacky wiring, the mind will very quickly go, oh, this is not necessary. Let me just, you know, all you have to do is be present to it. You don't have to rewire shit.
Perhaps I hear you say the conditioning falls away.
Yeah.
On its own. We don't have to decondition every single piece and part.
Right.
We can be present and the conditioning falls away.
Yeah. Take a metaphor for that. If you drive to work some particular way, you know, people have had this experience moving to a new city. And it's like you get to the grocery store, you get to the farmer's market, or you get to work going a particular route. And then one day you realize, oh my gosh, there's this like amazing shortcut that gets me there and it's beautiful and there's less traffic and all this kind of stuff. Do you have to go and like destroy the other road because you found this new one? No, you just take the new one. And similarly in the mind, we have these like repeated pathways that the mind travels, these conditioned paths, neurological paths. They're like physical too. They exist there. We have these paths that our thoughts typically run. As soon as one finds a different path that's more, you know, sensible or more harmonious or whatever you want to call it, you just run that path. And then the other one takes care of itself. If it's not used for a long enough period of time, it's pared down. If it's basically entirely abandoned, the mind doesn't replicate that. It doesn't persist to maintain that route if it's no longer used whatsoever. You know, it might keep a little thread there. The mind will take care of that. The brain really will take care of that. who's going, okay, now it's time to rewire this neural circuitry. I'm going to take this node and disconnect it from that. Nobody's doing that anyway. Get real. You know, you're not rewiring yourself. Ugh. It's happening for you, so to speak, right? All one is really responsible for is just being present to what is. The rest will happen.
Yeah. It's like you may find yourself habitually driving down that old road again. And it's okay.
Yeah. Just become aware of yourself in that moment. Be like, oh, check this out.
Look, I'm on this old road.
Yeah. Whoa. I took this old road. Oh, check that out. Yeah. This is taking forever, man. I forgot how bumpy this road was. You know, geez, I remember driving this road all the time. Check this out. Here I am again. Wow. And just be present with that road.
Yep, you can be present there too.
Yeah. It's because guaranteed when you come up to that intersection again, having had that presence within that old road, it'll be even quicker to realize, oh, yeah, I used to go left here. I'm going right. Because one has been present to the bumpiness, the intensity of that old road. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll go this way. You know? And one doesn't have to do anything about that old road, so to speak. It's just being present to what is.
What is.
The brain, the mind is very smart, right? If something isn't ideal, it's not going to keep doing that. Once it's aware of it not being ideal.
Yes.
When one brings presence to whatever is, it's like, oh my God, this isn't working. This relationship is abusive.
Yes.
When one is really present to that, the mind won't continue that. It's not illogical. It's like the basis of what we call logic.
It's when we don't allow ourselves to actually really feel presently what it is to be in unhappy circumstances or dysfunctional habits and patterns. When we're avoiding that, when we're not present, when we are present with our dysfunction, it becomes very natural to choose otherwise, to orient otherwise.
Yeah.
When we're present with whatever is, it's like if you're in dysfunction, it's okay. That's cool to be present with that. That's great. That'll lead you elsewhere. when we're, it's the dysfunction itself. Again, these labels, it's not bad. It's a great thing to be present with that. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough to hear when one is in a really extreme situation.
Absolutely.
It's tough to hear the words, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like it's coming from awareness of how absolutely atrocious dysfunction can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so in acknowledging the intensity that can exist in life and the positions that one can find oneself in, whew, it's like, don't tell me I chose this. Don't tell me I made this. And it's true that we meet life halfway, you know, or not halfway, but we bring our part and life outside of us brings its part, so to speak. And we meet in the middle. Not everything that occurs in my life is a result of me as an individual. That's extremely arrogant. You're going to discount the movement of everything else in the entirety of existence and claim that it's all happening as a result of you as an individual? No. We meet in the middle. Life is happening around me regardless of what I do, you know? And so it's true that one can find oneself in a very dysfunctional experience and it doesn't feel great.
Mm.
Right? Just as you said, be present with that. Typically, we avoid it because it's very tough to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I acknowledge that.
Absolutely. I speak so humbly of having precisely that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it to look at dysfunction while one is in it?
Mm. I find such medicine in opening up to the possibility that perhaps it is a powerful thing. You ask, what is it to be present in dysfunction? I feel myself led to, how can one be present in dysfunction? So simply breath, breathing, presence for me is so often by way of breath. And I find such medicine in opening up to the possibility that the dysfunction itself holds magic and it holds beauty in the way that it leads us to the change.
Yeah.
And I find a great place to start is opening up to that, because mm-hmm. so often dysfunction is linked with shame and kind of like the perspective of seeing it as this awful thing and seeing it as something that needs to change, or just seeing it, labeling it as bad, labeling our dysfunction. I'm thinking of times in my own life where I've experienced immense darkness, heaviness, anxiety, depression, and really times of inner turmoil. Seeing it that as itself as something bad leads one to feel that they are bad, that they are lacking something. And so opening up to the possibility that it of itself is something that leads to beautiful change.
That's a beautiful way to express what it is to be present to dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Is to see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the label of dysfunction, right? Same with challenge. Rather than seeing it as challenge, rather than seeing it as dysfunction, you see it for whatever it is. You know, maybe it's a self-induced turmoil. Maybe it's a circumstance that is pushing you to leave your living situation. Maybe it's a catalyst to, you know, some great shift in life. Whatever it is, being present with it makes that clear beyond like the idea formed about it. You know, we're still just using words here. being present is certainly the movement of life, regardless of what the circumstance is, and certainly in dysfunctional circumstances as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's true with disease. It's true with the intense things that we can experience from other people. It's true for intense injury and accident. It's true with natural disaster. It's true with death. Being present to what it is, beyond the label, prior to the label. We see it for what it is.
Opening the eyes to see it for what it is.
Yeah.
Outside of our ideas and judgments about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That we tend to avoid. I notice in Western, in people steeped in Western culture, there's this avoidance of the recognition of the reality of something. And that speaks already to one's fear of approaching that thing. Fear of change. Fear of seeing it for what it is. Oftentimes the fear of one's own self-reflection as a result of looking at that, right? Say somebody has kids and a marriage and it's extremely dysfunctional. To acknowledge that there is immense dysfunction in that brings the immediate potential that that person can shame themselves for wanting to leave their family. And so to avoid the shame inflicted upon oneself, one avoids the whole thing.
Because it often presents great opportunity or perhaps a call for change. And to face that change can be intense. And so perhaps we avoid the awareness altogether. We avoid the honesty. We avoid seeing things for as they are because they often lead us to these great changes of our lives, of the structures of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. And that change is ultimately an immense blessing for everyone involved when moved through with presence, in presence, in the present moment. When one is present to the journey of it, it's the movement of life unfolding.
Flow.
Yeah, it's the flow of life. That can be hard to hear and see for yourself. You know? And if one is avoiding the reality of something out of resistance to one's own mental abstraction of it, be present to that. If one avoids it out of fear or hesitation or the seeming impossibility of change, be present to that. If one doesn't even realize that they're avoiding it or why, be present to that. If one just has this lingering sense of something's not quite right, be present to that. Go into that. Look at that. Ask, when's the first time I remember feeling this feeling in my life? Perhaps it can be good to start with that particular circumstance that you're in. When's the first time I remember feeling this in this experience? And then when's the first time I remember feeling this in my life? Often that can bring one to what the shaman would call an inception point, where these things began in our lives. Where these patterns, these habits that are ultimately our teachers, began to show us something, we can say. And likely by the time somebody is in a dysfunctional situation and avoiding some aspect of it, as we're discussing here, it's likely that it's not one's first rodeo with whatever that theme is. The circumstance certainly is unique on the surface, but what underlies that is probably something that goes back to childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Typically does. Almost every time.
Yeah.
Being present to that, recognizing it, tracing the root back to some seeming origin of it, the inception point, helps one clarify what's going on there in the bigger picture. Like you're saying, the magic and the opportunity that exists within whatever seems horrible,
mm-hmm.
or shameful or painful or impossible.
Yeah.
And that's what has come through in the Native Life Course is some practical ways of approaching tracing that taproot.
So important.
Yeah, and there's some real like simple ways of doing that. It's a bit too much to discuss here, but that's immediately available to everyone, and everybody's got their own way of doing it, you know, and that already exists in everyone. It's just sometimes that can be tough to pin down or you know, kind of approach it until one's familiar with that process, mm-hmm. you know?
What it looks like to trace the roots.
Yeah.
And to uncover where things begin.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, one can do that for oneself right now, presently, without anybody else's help. That's ultimately how it happens. For oneself, by oneself, so to speak. You know? It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. And if it's helpful to have some pointers, then those also exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can learn that process.
Mm-hmm. We can learn a process, a sort of template for stepping through it. And ultimately the process, the actual movement isn't going to adhere to any template.
Mm-hmm.
But the template can be a good starting point.
Yeah, starting.
And then take it for yourself, man. Like, it's super important to be present with it rather than fitting it into some box, some theory, some structure.
What it should be.
Right.
Quote unquote, should be.
Right. Right. So, what is the challenge? Blessing. What's the greatest challenge, you ask? The greatest blessing.
As they are. Mm-hmm. They are. It is. And so it is.